Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logi. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Yeah.
So, this week it is October 18th, 2019. Cold Steel 3 comes out next week.
It's apparently pretty damn good.
Yeah, Dan Reb's already played and reviewed it. We got the review up on SmashPad. So, you know, I fucking hate him right now. But that will change come the 22nd. I will only then be mildly peeved afterwards. But, yeah, so you guys know last week, I talked about the fact, you know, the weather is actually really pleasant now. You know, it's not, like, super hot and I'm not going outside and instantly, like, melting into the asphalt. Yeah. It's actually, like, pleasant and it's kind of breezy and, you know, it's even getting a little chilly during night.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you remember the last part I said there, which was, the best part is that we went one whole season and I didn't have to worry about a fucking tropical storm.
That didn't last.
Yeah. Guess what's heading towards Georgia as we speak?
Yep. At least this one's going to hit Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to use a Sharpie with that one.
Yeah. Fortunately, before anyone gets too worried or, you know, happy, as it were, it's mostly going to be hitting south of Macon. So we're probably going to mostly just get a lot of rain and maybe occasional breeze.
Yeah, it's going to take a leak on you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so in this week's episode, a lot of more of that impeachment shit's going on, and goddamn, it just keeps getting worse. It's, you know, it's just, like, there's a point where even you realize, it's like, you know, Nixon at least tried to act innocent.
Yeah. Well, Nixon was also not exactly a dumbass.
No.
But in this case, it's actually, like, it's so nakedly not just stupid, but also really nakedly, like, easy to interpret. Because, like, right now, it's very obvious that Trump is trying to throw Mick Mulvaney under the bus as, like, the primary culprit. And it is not fucking working.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we got more stuff on that.
It's almost course, like this is the reason that all of his people keep flipping on him.
Yeah. Also, the Trump campaign itself is still really fucking stupid and really arrogant and constantly trying to put stuff out that's not okay and, you know, trying to act like the trolls that they are. We'll be talking about that. Sallie Mae shows us once again, you want the French Revolution? Because this is how you get the French Revolution. Also got, you know, some media news. And we also got some science stuff as well, including some stuff from Netflix. And the first trailer for that movie about the Roger Ailes scandal. And we got more stuff other than that, but we'll be getting to it. So, with that all said, I'm going to start as we always do. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I caught up on Mr. Robot. Yeah, still really good. Darlene has lost her shit completely. So, yeah, that's kind of it. Meanwhile, Elliot is on the verge of losing his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This show's going very dark direction. apart from that, I've been playing PC Building Simulator. Yeah, I built two gaming PCs. That was a thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. What's she trying to run, did it say?
Mm-hmm. Well, she was experimenting with PC gaming and almost sent the country into a revolution. So, okay.
So basically you bought a mansion.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
There's that. What else have I been doing? Oh yeah, I did a storage upgrade, which took me a lot longer than I expected it to. But I got the Plex server running off of a nice big 8 terabyte hard drive, so, and there's like 2 terabyte. I think I'm going to need a bigger drive again at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, I've been listening to that new Alter Bridge album, which is a whole lot to parse. They decided to go kind of experimental this time, and I like what I'm hearing. It's just I'm not expecting what I'm hearing. There's all kinds of different elements in there from, you know, different genres, different instrument choices that usually they don't use. And yeah, it's very interesting. It's probably going to take me a couple of listens to really get to grips with it, but yeah, worth listening to. So apart from that.
All right, Pat, what about you?
Still X-Men, still completely obsessed with the reboot that they've done, or soft reboot, whatever you want to call it. I think we should probably wait until more of us have caught up on it before we actually do a segment on the show about it, but that does have to come because there's a lot to unpack here, and I know you're caught up, Brandon.
Yeah.
But it'll be really interesting as well to get Teresa's input and Lee's input. I know Lee is on Powers number 4.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm not sure where Teresa's at with it. But, yeah, when we finally get around to that episode of the show, we're going to have a lot to discuss because this has been a very loaded series. It's very dense. It's very cerebral. And it's making me fall in love with comics again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's been my week.
All right. Chris, what about you?
Oh, yeah. So the weather has kind of turned south here.
Mm-hmm.
Been in the 40s most of the week. And I've been making the tough transition to having to remember not to wear shorts out and about. I've just been okay when it's like 50s or so. Once it starts getting to the 40s, it's like, I need to start switching over to pants mode. Making sure to have that, because I think we've got weather advisory. I was just looking at it a little earlier. For a frost advisory overnight.
Nice.
Just kind of where we're at, which is a huge contrast where it was at the beginning of the month when it was 90 degrees. Just took a few weeks to drop to the point where it's going to start freezing any like moisture on your car or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's been not great. But as for games, I've been playing a bunch of Children of Morta. I did two streams on that Sunday and Tuesday because I just did not have the energy to figure out what else to stream on Tuesday. And that game is the new game that's been published by 11-Bit Studios,
mm-hmm.
makers of Frostpunk and This War of Mine. This game is unlike any of those. It's actually fairly pleasant. It is... initially, I was expecting it to be like an action RPG, but also found out that it's kind of a roguelite as well. Basically, and it's kind of full of story, too. Really good story in a cool way. So that between runs, you get bits of story, and if you beat one of the dungeons, you get to like the next story beats, the major story beats.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way, you can kind of get stuff that happens to things like signal, like you're going to get a new character thrown into your party that you can use for that run, stuff like that. So initially, you start off with the father and Linda, the older daughter. John is more of a warrior with a big shield as well.
Mm-hmm.
Linda is an archer. So her kind of play style is a bit more dual stick oriented, as well as just more focused on range stuff. But after a few runs, I started introducing the notion of the little brother coming into play, Kevin. You can sort of see some story beats where he talks to his Uncle Ben, who lives in the house. This guy that sort of makes weapons for the family. He makes these like knives. They very much show that Kevin's going to be a bit more of a rogue or a thief kind of type. So very fast, agile, but short range. And there's some cool stuff that happens with that. But where I'm at, I got the older brother showed back up. He had disappeared for a while and come back. And he's very much a monk type. So hand to hand, but also he kind of locks on to enemies that are nearby. So he can kind of play real fast and loose at times, which is a lot of fun. That's the four character types I have right now. But yeah, each run you go for, it procedurally generates a dungeon, a bunch of different types of enemies and such. I'm on the third dungeon right now.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I had an amazing end to it to win with the daughter, Linda. Because I had picked up a buff that essentially, if I died, I got resurrected with like 10 or 20% health, whatever it is. And I died with the boss at about 5% health. So I got resurrected and was able to just finish him off and win that. Real nice, like, last-minute save kind of situation just because I had picked up this buff. And it's kind of got a vibe of stuff like Binding of Isaac and Rogue Legacy to it. Rogue Legacy in that you're picking up gold as you play, and afterwards, when you're done with the run, whether you win or die, you go back to your house and you spend it on upgrading base stats for everybody, or these runes that do some more overall stat building, stuff like that. And Binding of Isaac is kind of there in the way that the different perks and such that you get kind of come together to create all kinds of weird and crazy kinds of builds. I've had some, I think the time I beat the first dungeon, I had a bunch of fire stuff that gave, I think, John ability to set enemies on fire when you hit them with your weapon. Sort of take down some extra damage, stuff like that. That made that boss a lot easier than other attempts where I had nothing. I also didn't realize it was a weird fucked up spider boss.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a lot of fun because he would spawn to these other ones that could also spawn their own little spiders. There's a point where it kind of goes up into the air a little bit. And I was like, oh, I can't hit it. Then I realized after on that last run that, oh, it can be hit.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be, you know, up a little further to be parallel to where it's actually hanging out at. But yeah, the game's a lot of fun. Kind of surprising in some surprising ways, and the way it kind of weaves in this story of this corruption that's sort of taking over the world and kind of infecting a lot of different places. And you're kind of going through these dungeons as like a family of heroes that's have like legendary blood in them, that kind of thing. And the way they weave the story in, just whether you win and beat the boss in that dungeon you're going after, or if you're dying, kind of pushing some stuff, you can. It does a lot of cool stuff with that. There's some cool like side stuff as well. Like I picked up a wolf pup that was kind of protecting its dead mom from these creatures that had killed it. We kind of stumbled upon that and killed them, took the pup with us, but it was kind of injured, so we needed to get some supplies in the dungeons. And so I picked those up after a few runs and kind of got it back to health, but then I needed to build, for whatever reason, they wanted to build like a specific like doghouse for it, even though they live in this giant house that's like it could stay with one of the kids. Doesn't really matter, but then I had to pick up wooden nails in the dungeons and further runs. So it has a lot of cool little stuff like that that mm-hmm. happens along the way that don't really see too much in roguelikes, where they kind of keep that stuff separate and you kind of have just this kind of generic story for why you want to, you know, beat the game, essentially. But yeah, that game's been a lot of fun and definitely seems worth it. One of the better surprises I've seen of late. And I've also been just playing more Concrete Genie. I've gotten to the next area, unlocked a new type of genie. I think it's a wind genie.
Mm-hmm.
And still having a lot of fun with that. Kind of going back through the town, finding some things I missed and pages and designs and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of been pretty much what I've been doing. How about you, Brandon?
I'm still playing Spider-Man. I've finished the main campaign, so I'm doing the City That Never Sleeps DLC stuff, which is episodic. It's got three episodes. I highly recommend, if anyone who hasn't played this game yet, when they go out and get it, get the Game of the Year edition. It's only $40, and you get all of the DLC that the game had.
And that's when it's not on sale?
Yeah. It is so fun. It really is. I will say, though, there are the one issue I do have, at least story-wise, is there are a couple of classic Spider-Man villains that are nowhere to be seen. They're a reference sometimes, but they're nowhere to be seen. You know,
well, they got to save something for the sequel.
Yeah, Mysterio is nowhere to be seen.
That's going to change.
Yeah. Green Goblin is nowhere.
Yeah, there's story reasons for that. You'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's near the end, you'll find out what's going on.
Yeah. Venom's probably going to show up if the ending is anything to be suggested.
Yeah. You'll see more at the end.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's just, God, it is so good. It is absolutely just a blast to play. And it is also really fucking hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to those base infiltration missions.
Yeah.
Where you're going up against, like, five waves of enemies. And, like, there's multiple types of enemies, all of which require different ways of going about killing them. Well, killing them. Spider-Man doesn't kill anyone. Although I swear there are times...
He can do things that kills people.
Yeah, he does seem to throw people off the top of tall buildings quite a bit.
If you look off to the side, you see they're stuck to the walls.
Yeah, I know.
They went to that kind of distance for the detail.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
But, yeah.
I just get really liberal with the triangle button when I'm by the edges of buildings.
Yeah. But basically, so, like, obviously there's, like, your basic type of mook, and, you know, that guy's just... It's like, oh, I'm going to punch Spider-Man. Fuck no, you aren't. You might get maybe one in, and then he's going to fucking kick your ass. But then there's the ones who actually are armed. And those weapons can go anywhere from, you know, something like a crowbar or a pistol, which is slightly worse, assault rifle, which is usually on full auto, fucking rocket launchers.
Oh, those suck.
Oh, yeah. With homing rockets.
Yeah.
And finally, there are the bruisers. Basically, these giant, like, 500-pound behemoths that come running out and take out, like, half your life with one punch.
Yeah. That's why with the upgrades, I... focus solely on stuff with the webs.
Yeah.
Increasing the amount you have to tie them up, as well as ones that let you sort of pull their weapons out, disarm them, or throw them back at their face.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And then in the DLC, you encounter the bruisers with miniguns. Yeah.
Bad day.
Yeah, it's a very bad day. Because they are a bitch to fight, too. Because... unlike the other bruisers, you can't, you know, bound them with webbing. You have to actually, like, get up to them, and then you have to let them either, you know, fire their weapon at you, which, you know, you have to avoid, and then get up close and then hit them. Or you have to let them try and, like, smack you with the minigun, like, physically, dodge out of the way, and then fight them then. And, these guys take, like, 6 or 7 hits at minimum. So, yeah, it's a bitch to deal with. But, and yeah, and, like, especially in the City That Never Sleeps DLC, where you're going into, like, Hammerhead's front business fronts, where you have to go into his warehouses and shit. Man, they fucking love the chain guns and the rocket launchers and those things. Like, seriously. And apparently they're just fucking lying around, too. Like, goddamn. Like, I understand, you know, you're in the Marvel Universe, and let's be honest, if you lived in the Marvel Universe and you were a common crook for, I don't know, like, a month or so, you'd be going for the heavy weaponry too.
Yeah.
But still, this is New York we're talking about.
That's also true.
But yeah, so I've been playing that. Still. Of course, you know, Cold Steel 3 comes out next week. I'll be getting that on the 22nd. So other than that, been books, usual. Discovered a comic book series that I really love now called Copra. It's by this guy named Michelle Fife. Michelle Fife. I have no idea how to fucking pronounce this dude's name. It's M-I-C-H-E-L-F-I-F-F-E. And basically, it's like a superhero version of the Suicide Squad that goes through main characters at an alarming rate. Almost so that it's almost like a running gag. Like, in the first issue, three of the main characters are already dead. Like, that's how it goes. But so far, it's organized, as far as the graphic novels go, it's organized in rounds. There's currently five of them available. The actual comic itself has been going on since, I think, 2012, and it's been it's up to, like, 31 issues now. Or at least the first quote-unquote volume is. The second volume is already starting now, and it's from being published by Image. But, yeah, give it a shot. And other than that, well, I've been watching anime, as usual. Because, you know, Funimation has got some new stuff up on their place I've been watching. I've been trying to catch up on My Hero Academia. Also, some of you may not know this, but yes, it's now true. Beastars is now, the anime is now out in Japan, and that OP is going around, and people are fucking loving it, because it's, you know, electro swing, and it's also stop motion, so it kind of looks like Fantastic Mr. Fox. yeah, pretty much it. Anybody got anything they want to add before we move on?
I do want to add, tomorrow we're going to be streaming Felix the Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be at 1 p.m. Eastern time, because I got to work later on. But and Sunday we'll be streaming Stranded Sails, which is on, I think, everything, mm-hmm. pretty much. I think it's a mix of, like, Legend of Zelda and Stardew Valley stuff. So a lot of farming and killing shit.
Mm. Alrighty then. Well, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And today, I decided I wanted to kind of regale everyone in a common pastime that me and my people, you know, Hicks, like to take part in every so often. So, you guys are familiar with catfish, right?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. Catfish, they exist. Mm-hmm. They are scaleless. I don't think a lot of people know that. Catfish actually don't have scales. And they're also freshwater bottom feeders, which means that they kind of just eat all the shit that falls at the bottom of the lake. Now, catfish are one of those animals that, even if they're very small, they tend to be very hefty. And when they're big, they're really, really big. My grandpa, God rest his soul, he once caught one off of Lake Sinclair that was 2.5 feet long. Yeah, they grow big. But see, here's the thing. It would be just anything, because, you know, we humans, we've evolved now to the point where we've created these, you know, highly designed, high-tech fishing poles, right?
Yeah.
So surely, you know, there's no reason for anyone to say, I don't know, get down in the lake and try to catch them with your bare hands, right?
Right.
I'd like to introduce you to a little pastime we have here down in the South called noodling. Noodling, which is something that some of my family does, I don't know why, is a method of fishing where you get down into relatively shallow water. Some of it you can stand in, but usually it'll at At least it'll be around maybe chest or neck deep. But it can be deeper. And what you do is you get around to an area where you think you can, because basically you get in there and you can actually feel around with the bottoms of your feet, and you can actually like find the little catfish holes that these things dig into the side of the shore and burrow into and live in. And here's the thing about catfish. If anything comes, because of the way they work, if anything comes near their little hidey holes, they will instantly come out and try to eat it. So what you do is take your hand and you go down into the water. You feel around for one of those holes and you stick your hand in. And if you get the feeling of having two pieces of sandpaper slammed onto your wrist, congratulations, you just found yourself a catfish. So you literally take them out with your bare hand. And it is fucking stupid. I do not know why anyone would do this for fun. And there's more than one reason. One, it's gross as fuck. Like, catfish by themselves. Freshwater fish, even on a good day, tend to be particularly slimy. Catfish are basically overgrown eels. Like, they are nasty, nasty, gross, slimy motherfuckers. They taste great, but goddamn, let's just say there's a reason why, you know, they're not considered kosher. Other problem. Usually when the catfish dies and, you know, the lake just takes it wherever, there are other things that may decide to take over that catfish hole. You guys ever heard of something called water moccasins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what a water moccasin is?
I have a vague recollection.
Imagine a venomous snake that lives underwater, hides away in holes, is mean as fuck, and it just loves to bite the unsuspecting ankles of anyone that comes near it. That's a water moccasin. And they can swim. There's a reason why most professional noodlers usually have a shotgun on them. That's why. Because if you encounter one of those things, you don't want to just play nice. You want to blow it to all holy hell.
Yeah.
Because they're not just mean. They're also persistent. Can't just throw it away. Oh, no. It will fucking follow you. It holds a grudge, and it will not stop until its vengeance has been fulfilled. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. You know, it's no wonder my people lost the goddamn war. Anyway. All right. So, with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to start with our asshole of the week. And our asshole of the week is a policeman who killed a woman, a Tatiana Jefferson, in her own home, in front of her nephew, that was supposed to be on a welfare check after a neighbor's call.
Yep. Yeah, so the thing that happened is the person that took the call sent this cop out on the checkout for a robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially expecting somebody to be in there that's not supposed to be in there. And so they were sort of skulking around the house, looking through the windows, and come upon seeing this woman and her kid, and the kid in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just starts shooting within seconds.
Yep. Just fucking just goes through the door and bang.
I believe what she was doing was just playing some games with the kid.
Yes, she was. She was playing video games with her nephew.
Yeah, though awfully late at like 2 a.m., something like that. But the neighbor saw the doors slightly open with the lights on. You know, did what you should be able to do is call and say, hey, there might be, you know, they might have had an accident or something. Can you check on them, make sure they're okay?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's, unfortunately, the cops weren't able to handle that simple request.
No.
And so the cop that's in question here has been arrested and charged with murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Yeah, she definitely did not deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's just, you know, just a black person in their home is not allowed to exist, I guess, according to the cops in Fort Worth here.
Apparently.
Yeah.
God damn it. And this is like... Yeah, and this is like the fucking... What is it? Like, this is just off this is just after, you know, an officer just was sentenced to jail for killing an innocent person.
Yeah, for trying to enter the wrong home.
Yeah, like last week.
Yeah. But yeah, they have the body cam footage.
Mm-hmm.
Shows him shining a flashlight through her window and yelling, "Put your hands up, show me your hands," before firing a single shot at her within about 3 seconds.
That doesn't sound like a welfare check.
No.
Yeah. Another officer responded to the call but never announced their presence even after entering the backyard, according to an arrest warrant. The door had been left open because the family wanted to let cooler air in, the family's attorney said. Jefferson's nephew told investigators that when his aunt heard the noises in the backyard, she went to get her handgun. She pointed it towards the window. But Jefferson legally owned the gun, and Krause said she had every right to defend herself. She believed someone was prowling around the house. It's like, yeah, when you don't announce yourself as a cop... and all that, and take anybody pointing anything at you, whether it's a gun or not, it's like she has the legal right to defend herself.
Yeah. So are all those Second Amendment people going to come out in support of this chick?
Probably not. It's an interesting thing of like realizing, so a lot of stuff Trump's been doing is against the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody in his base cares.
Nope.
But anytime somebody mentions maybe we should do some gun control, like background checks or whatever, people are like, oh, you can't cross the Constitution. The Constitution has to be protected at all costs. It's like, where are you at now with Trump? What's going on with that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
God damn it. Seriously. Yeah.
And they talk here about things that need to be done, like federal consent decrees.
Mm-hmm.
Which, guess who stopped that whole thing before he left the United States Attorney General position? Mr. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions.
Yep. Yes, of course. Of course. Of course they fucking did.
Yeah.
Yep.
God damn it. Well.
That's like literally one of the last things he did before he resigned.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. But it wasn't all bad news, as we also have our Heroes of the Week. And our Heroes of the Week were a bunch of lady astronauts who, this week, took part in NASA's first all-women spacewalk. It happened today.
Yep. It was supposed to happen earlier this year, but got delayed for a bit. And, yeah, I was watching the stream they did on Twitter. For a good bit, and it happened to be around the time where they were going to get a call from Trump to congratulate them or whatever, which they got mansplained by him.
Yeah, because of course he did.
Because he was saying, like, you're the first women to do a spacewalk. It's like, no, there's been many women before us, but we're the first team of women to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff, and yeah.
Because even when he's, you know, even when he's doing good, he has to be a complete asshole about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just in his nature.
Yeah.
But at least he had some humility in saying, like, he can never do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that's one thing. You couldn't do better than the people that are actually doing it.
Yeah. Well,
I wish he'd realize
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish he would make that realization.
It's going to have to be drags kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, that will be the greatest perp walk in the history of America.
Yeah.
But, anyway. All right. So, moving on from there, we got to start the proper show proper. And as always, Unfortunately, we have to start with celebrity deaths, but in this time, it's not just an actor or a musician or anything like that. It's somebody very important, one of the elder statesmen of modern progressive politics. Rest in peace, House Representative Elijah Cummings, who passed away at the age of, what was it, like 63?
68.
He passed away at the age of 68 today. He was a long time, he was a respected part of the Democratic caucus. He was a civil rights veteran. He was very famous for being not taking any shit.
Yeah.
He had no fucks to give. And in an era when too many Democrats came off as spineless and utterly unwilling to do anything that might seem to be considered confrontational, he was willing to basically tell everyone to go fuck themselves.
Yep.
So he will most definitely be missed. So, yeah. Rest in peace, Mr. Cummings. You left a hell of a legacy, and we hope to not only measure up to it, but maybe even surpass it.
Only hope.
Yeah. So, now, with that, it is now time to start the part of this show that has now become, I think, what, like part four now?
Three or four? It's an ongoing
story. Of Impeachment Watch. And, God damn, it just keeps getting worse. So first and foremost, House Representative Matt Gaetz, who has one of the most punchable fucking faces I've ever seen on the planet, actually tried to sneak into the Fiona Hill hearing. And he got caught, though, and they kicked his ass out.
Yeah, trying to be the Trump spy.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought you were just going to say they kicked his ass.
I wish that were the case, but yes. No, they didn't kick his ass.
Yeah. Yeah, they say here, you may recall that it was Gaetz who tweeted out what could only be interpreted as a threat towards Michael Cohen before the latter testified to the Judiciary Committee. This was referred to the Florida Bar Association in complaints that charged Gaetz with witness tampering.
Mm-hmm.
He was clear of that because, well, Florida. But yeah. It did hurt a handful of uncomplimentary... hurl a handful of uncomplimentary adjectives at him.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to remember that any articles of impeachment that are forthcoming will have to go through the House Judiciary Committee, of which Gaetz is a member, and as such, he has to be allowed in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, not really.
Nope.
Because they're doing just preliminary interviews of these people. They have a good quote here. It's not like I'm on the Agriculture Committee, Gaetz smoked. Mm-hmm. Good thing, too, since he apparently could be outsmarted by produce.
Mm.
let's see. Matt Gaetz spoke out after this. This morning, we see further evidence that Adam Schiff's clone show of an impeachment proceeding continues. Adam Schiff lied when he said that he and his team had not had contact with the whistleblower. He lied when he read a false transcript into the record. They have a great ending to this article. When the final history of this historical malignancy is written, this argument that Schiff's comic paraphrase of the president's guilt-laden telephone call was a false transcript is going to be reckoned as one of the dumbest things they ever got the MAGAs to swallow, much less one of the dumbest chunks of pure mendacity to emerge from Congress. For one thing, none of us has seen the actual transcript of the call. What Camp Run Amok released was something close to the memorandum of the conversation. It was still enough to touch off a legitimate impeachment inquiry. The idea that Schiff read a false transcript into the record is proof enough that Gaetz believes his audience is as big a box of rocks as he is.
Oh, yeah, we're on. Yeah, it really is Stupid Watergate Part 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's going to read really well in history books.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of fucking amazing, Rudy Giuliani actually defied his congressional subpoena.
Oh,
so somebody get the sergeant of arms to go arrest his ass.
Yeah, I think might not be, you know, legal expert, but I'm guessing if you get a subpoena, you're supposed to show up.
Yep.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, so you know who his lawyer was?
Cohen.
It is, let's see, what's the name here? Wait, where'd they mention it here? It was one of the guys that was involved in, let's see, what was it here? Sale, a former assistant prosecutor in the Watergate case. And he got dismissed after...
10 days?
Whatever it is, this... He was Giuliani's personal lawyer and sort of was let go after helping him get this done.
Yeah.
As he tweeted out, I will not participate in illegitimate, unconstitutional, and baseless impeachment inquiry. John Sale, who's a lifelong friend, has represented me for the sole purpose of analyzing the request and responding. At this time, I do not need a lawyer.
Yeah, that's basically code for, yeah, my lawyer thinks I'm fucked, so...
Yeah, and he thinks he's a lawyer.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, technically, isn't Giuliani a lawyer?
Yes.
Yeah, well, not a good lawyer.
No.
Well, yeah.
somebody that should be representing anybody.
He's a lawyer in the same sense that I'm a chef.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fall guy for Trump, basically.
Pretty much.
He always sounds like he's drunk.
Anyway. So, yeah. And then finally, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, said no impeachment inquiry vote will actually happen for the time being.
Yeah.
And I think that's partly strategic since, you know, we're about roughly about 14 months away from the election.
Yeah, but also the Republicans... main thing trying to counter is like, if you're not going to hold a vote, then it's not a real thing. And all that sort of stuff. Like, if you want to actually do this, then hold the vote so we know who's for and against this, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, they're not falling for that shit.
Yeah. I just... It's become comical at this point.
Yep. Become?
Well.
Yeah. Because it's so nakedly... corrupt and stupid. Yeah. Like, it's...
Yeah. They're trying to grasp on any little straw they can find.
Yeah. And failing.
Yeah. I think it's been comical for a hot minute.
I mean...
a bunch of people who think that this is totally fine.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, it's not like anything different has happened, or, you know, it's like this happens all the time. No. No, this doesn't happen all the time. This is... much, a lot of this shit is basically unprecedented.
But you can't say that because they don't know.
Yeah.
That's true. Big words confuse and anger them.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm pretty sure there was some other stuff that happened about it this week, but...
nothing,
you know,
really that's
that significant
right now.
But moving on from that and other Trump stupidity, there's a clip, like a modified clip that features... I can't know. What movie is it from?
The Kingsman?
The Kingsman, yeah.
Or one of the Kingsman movies, though.
Yeah. Where basically they put Trump's head on it, and then he starts shooting a bunch of people, and they modified them, so it's like CNN, MSNBC, political opponents. So Trump apparently thought this was a good idea to be the show at his Miami resort.
I don't know that he necessarily made the decision on this.
It might have been someone in his campaign.
Because it was the people that were running the club.
Ah.
So they're very much in the cult of Trump.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's scene from Kingsman, The Secret Service. Trump is the face of Colin Firth's character, enters a church of fake news, opens fire on members of the congregation. Churchgoers have various news organization logos or the faces of Democratic lawmakers and other critics superimposed on their bodies. Let's see. Trump's character shoots, stabs, or sets on fire to the late John McCain, Bernie Sanders, Maxine Waters, and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, among others. So, yeah.
Real classy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, they're going to get somebody killed.
Yep.
I mean, technically they've already have, but
they almost had it with the mail bombings that were attempted.
Yeah. God damn, we really are going to have going to need to have like a mass deprogramming campaign after all this shit's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole Trump organization has managed to get his claws into people's minds in a way that is both really cynical and malicious. But yeah, so, but it gets worse from there, because guess who chose to pick this particular resort as a site for the 2020 G7 summit?
Oh, Cheeto himself.
Yep. Wow, that's not possibly unethical at all.
Well, emoluments clause, that's another impeachable offense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got like, what, 4 or 5 of them that we know of so far?
At least.
Okay, so yeah.
Might as well add 9.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see, House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler says the selection of the Doral was a potential violation of the Constitution's Emoluments Clause, which barred President from receiving gifts from foreign nations. I said he is exploiting his office, making official U.S. government decisions for his personal financial gain. The Emoluments Clauses of this Constitution exist to prevent exactly this kind of corruption. The committee will continue investigating, litigating, legislating regarding these matters, including pressing for answers to our prior requests about the G7 selection process. Obviously, the one defending it is Mick Mulvaney, acting chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, let's see what he said. If you think it's going to help his brand, that's great. I would suggest that he probably doesn't need much help promoting his brand. Mulvaney said that 10 possible sites are considered and that Trump doesn't profit from being here. Has no interest in profiting from being here, which other people have said is not the case at all. Let's see. Spokeswoman for the Trump Organization told CNBC, "We're excited to have been asked to host the 2020 G7 Summit at Trump National Doral. Trump Doral is a world-class facility with an unrivaled hospitality team.
World-class.
Honored by this recognition."
Do a little bit of reading up on it. It's not world class.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Mulvaney tries to turn things around back to Biden, because he's the current Republican boogeyman. Even Joe Biden blasted him for that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, let's see.
It doesn't need a summit. It needs an exterminator.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's just naked corruption again.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like nobody has the balls to fucking do anything about it.
Nope.
Just goddamn. I really cannot wait to after he's president, because here's the funny thing. Some things people don't know. You can't be pardoned for an impeachment.
No.
So that whole thing about, well, if he just gets pardoned, then Pence is going to... I mean, if he just gets impeached, then Pence is going to pardon him. No, he can't.
No, that doesn't work.
Also, the president can only pardon a federal crime. Hmm. Can't pardon a state crime. And guess whose district attorney is currently combing through, or attempting to combing through, Trump's tax returns as we speak. Yep. That's going to be fun to watch. Anyway, moving on from there, in more insanity, only this time it takes place across the pond, the European Union and the UK have finally reached a Brexit deal. So we do have to point out that it still has to get through Parliament, and it probably won't.
The DUP
won't.
Are the ones kind of stepping up as not wanting this deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who's watching TV?
That would be me. Is it too loud?
It's audible.
All right, hold on. How's that? Okay. But yeah, like I was saying, looks like it's still going to have to get through Parliament, and I don't think it has a chance in hell of passing.
I think this whole Brexit...
Nope. I mean, It's just, I mean, it's literally been a shit show from day one. And,
yep.
Like, it has become increasingly clear that the vast majority of the people in the UK do not want a Brexit.
Yeah, even the people that initially voted for it are like, wait a minute, that was a really stupid idea.
Yeah. And I cannot wait when Boris Johnson ends up, you know, losing his fucking recall vote. Vote of no confidence. Hmm. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Because that motherfucker has inflicted something awful on the UK body politic. And I can't wait to see him fucking pay for it.
Yeah, they got 2 weeks. See if the deal gets through. If not, they're going off a cliff.
Yep. All right. Well, next up, Juul Labs have recently halted all online sales of fruit-flavored e-cigarettes ahead of the looming ban in the U.S.
Yep. Yeah, so the store presence has been stopped a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this is stopping the online version, online stores. And so they're just going to keep mint, menthol, and tobacco flavors up there.
Mm-hmm.
Which definitely is going to be probably curtailing a lot of the teen buyers.
Yep. God, I hope so.
Yep.
But yeah, it's I'm just, you know, it's like people have reminded you, it's still the fucking tobacco industry we're talking about here.
Yeah, they're going to find their way to make money.
And,
you know, they jumped on this shit because they're like, man, we can totally make some awesome cash if we – and we can actually deal to little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they thought no one would figure it out.
Nope.
Because that's how fucking arrogant the tobacco industry really is. And how callously amoral as well. Because they don't care. They just want the money.
Yeah.
And they don't care how they get it. But anyway. Yeah, so you think Juul's about to fucking collapse into bankruptcy anytime soon?
Give them a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what you're going to get right now is a lot of people just buying up their supplies to keep them going for a while.
Yeah. All right. Well, next up. Next up in Do You Want the French Revolution? Because this is how you get the French Revolution. Sallie Mae, which is the the debt consolidation company, recently celebrated reaching $5 billion in quote-unquote sales by sending 100-plus employees to Maui.
Yep. Yeah, and the way they frame this article... Sallie Mae execs tan at Maui retreat while student debt crisis tops $1.6 trillion.
Yep.
And their social media team had the really smart idea of tweeting out something to the effect of saying, we only account for 1.4% of the $1.6 trillion in student loans. Anybody did the math, realized that's over $22 billion. That's still a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, and they have 374,000 borrowers. So that's a ton of people.
That's right.
They say they didn't pay for employees' families to attend, but some did tag along. Yeah, they see a 5-day paid trip to the luxury Fairmont Resort.
Mm-hmm. God damn. Just.
Big business day.
Oh, yes. Hmm. Well, I mean, like I said, they apparently really want the French Revolution.
Yep.
Because they have not learned their goddamn lesson. Yep. And so, you know, it's coming. It's coming, folks.
Yep.
That final battle between the working class and the bourgeois, it's coming.
Yep.
And heads are going to fucking roll when it does.
Literally.
Yeah.
They've already got the guillotines. They're bringing them with them. It's just a matter of starting to put people in them.
Yeah. But anyway.
Probably isn't far off.
Oh, yeah.
I would still love to see the coverage of Navient. Because Hasan Minhaj covered that on his Patriot Act. Mm. And they had some real awful shit they've done.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably common between all these different companies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this article has some other story stuff about a woman who took a loan out, $120,000 for tuition at Lakeland College for a master's in business administration to help with the cost of living as she worked through school with her two kids. And now her loan, her expected payback is $304,000. Even though she declared bankruptcy to protect her house after being unable to make her payments, she had an attorney to sue Navient, arguing the bankruptcy should have cleared her debt because it was a private loan. So yeah, some real nasty shit going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're actively told to like make people just hang up the phone because that gets them off the line and get to somebody else to make more money off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Just get through people as fast as possible, even if they're making them mad. Just hang up on them and all that.
Mm. But anyway, next up in crazy, creepy cult news, over in Holland, police went to a sort of blocked off farm property. And because it's like kind of really remote. And they went there and they discovered that there's this family that's been locked away in this farm that's been waiting for the end times for the last 9 years.
I don't think they have too much longer to wait.
But yeah, that is fucking insane. Chris, give us more info.
They found, let's see, 5 siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Estimated 18 to 25 years of age, and a man they have identified as their ailing father. Were found near Ruinerwald, a village in the northern province of Drenth.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them managed to get away.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, they confirmed they arrested a man who was renting the farm, but would not comment on his identity.
Mm-hmm.
The children's mother apparently died before they moved to the Dutch farm. So yeah, none of the family members were registered as residents with the municipality, police said. Mm. So yeah. Employee at the cafe where the one sibling escaped to. 25-year-old man with long hair come in looking scruffy and bewildered and said he had not been outside for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
You could see he had no idea where he was at or what he was doing. He said he had run away and that he urgently needed help.
Mm.
Dutch media reported that police had discovered a staircase behind a cupboard in a living room that led to the basement where the father and children were living. Siblings had apparently lived in makeshift rooms and survived partly on vegetables and animals from a secluded garden on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And residents of the town were in shock, saying they'd only seen a man at the property and didn't know that he had a family.
Mm.
The farm is hidden behind trees about 200 meters from the edge of town. And cops are have a pretty good quote here. I understand there are a lot of questions. We have many, too. Police are investigating all possible scenarios.
Yeah. See, this is the kind of story you'd actually expect here in the U.S. But not
there's
Norway.
There's a Netflix show about it.
Or Holland. Yeah.
The Netflix show about Kimmy Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman there kept in like a doomsday bunker.
Yeah. But yeah, then again, like, this area of the world is kind of where, like, the Mennonites kind of came from. So, you know, there are those sort of out there nonconformist-type Christian groups that, you know, originate from there. So maybe it's not that unusual. Anyway, now for the entertainment portion of the show. First and foremost, AMC Entertainment. They are introducing their own on-demand video service. God damn it, not another one.
Yep. Let's see, they're going to offer about 2,000 films for sale or rent after the theatrical runs, much like Amazon or iTunes. Let's see, they have Disney, Warner Brothers, Universal, Sony, and Paramount on board for their catalog and new release movies. Price between $3 and $6 and $10 to $20 to buy. And yeah, it's kind of them trying to bring in more revenue because obviously the theater business isn't exactly a booming one.
Nope.
They're trying to find ways of getting more with stuff like their A-list program. Let you see, let's see, 3 movies a week for $20 a month, which they recently reached 900,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot more than I would have thought.
Yeah. Well, if you're somebody that goes to the movies regular.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all the major theaters have subscription services now.
Pretty much.
The one I have here, Regal, has one for $18. That would be perfect for me if I wanted to see like 3 movies a month.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there's not 3 movies a month that I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah.
You know, if we were in like a stretch like we had earlier this year with Marvel stuff and all that coming out, I would probably check it out. Yeah, right now we're not getting Marvel stuff till next year, I think, at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's see. That's pretty much it.
Right.
Weird, but kind of smart move in a sense.
Yeah.
Especially if they tie in the subscription service to it.
Yeah.
Because I know Regal has lots of promotions. Like, you go see, you know, if I see certain Disney movies, I'll get like Disney reward points off that. Stuff like that. And if they have like sets of movies, like you see these 3 Sony movies, and they'll give you Movies Anywhere codes for those movies if you see them all. That sort of stuff. Like, lots of neat little like bonuses for going to see stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot more intriguing and enticing than just, hey, go see the movie.
Yeah.
And the kind of stuff that they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Get people out. As well as like reward services and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see. Next up, in other movie streaming news, HBO Max has officially picked up the streaming rights for all of Studio Ghibli's films for spring 2020.
Yep. Let's see. Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, Princess Mononoke, House Moving Castle, Kiki's Delivery Service, Ponyo, Castle in the Sky, and The Tale of... Tale of the Princess Kaguya, and more have been licensed. So yeah, pretty much all of it's us through the American distributor G Kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a big get because they haven't really been on any streaming services.
Yeah.
Nope. No, they have not. But yeah, so obviously all of those films are worth seeing, and many of them seeing more than once.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, any of you guys got a particular favorite? Yeah. I'll admit Princess Mononoke is also one I like a lot. Personally, I prefer Castle in the Sky. That's always been my personal favorite. Yeah. But honestly, all of them are worth seeing. So.
Yeah, I think the ones I really like are My Neighbor Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Porco Rosso.
Yeah. Porco Rosso is a great movie.
Yeah. It's kind of unlike a lot of their other ones, in a way, because it's kind of a bit more realistic, even though it's dealing with a guy who's been turned into a pig.
Yeah.
A pig man. But it's like it just ends with like these two dudes just bare knuckle fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah. You'll notice that all these Studio Ghibli films, I think like all but one of them are Miyazaki pictures.
Yeah.
You notice they didn't have, Tokyo Godfathers or Grave of the Fireflies, which is the one movie you only ever want to watch once and never see it again.
Yeah, probably a good thing.
No. Mm. Or make people want to kill people.
Mm. Or themselves.
Yeah, because that is a movie that will make you... It isn't a movie that will make you cry. It is a movie that will wreck you for the whole week. Mm. Like, it is... unbearably, unabashedly, unrelentingly depressing.
Hmm.
But yeah. Anyway, next up from that, it's going to be a live-action Barney movie.
Nope.
Just from Daniel Kaluuya.
Nope. There are things that we need in this.
I'm actually way more interested in this with Daniel Kaluuya, who is the star of Get Out.
Oh.
Yeah, he's going to be producing this. And it's the weird thing that he might be fucking with people. He says here, Barney was a ubiquitous figure in many of our childhoods. Then he disappeared in the shadows, left misunderstood. We're excited to explore this compelling modern-day hero and see if his message of I love you, you love me, can stand the test of time.
No, it can't. It was born in the 90s, it died in the 90s, it should say dead in the 90s.
Unless they flip the script and turn Barney in.
I would actually be okay with that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely on the table.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. No. Let's see what comes out of this.
Yeah.
But, people have been mining for these old 80s and 90s properties to reboot or whatever, and honestly, I'm not sure if all of them should be rebooted. Speaking of which, CBS is working on a Clueless TV show reboot.
Yeah, and this, once I can pull it up, the plot description for it very much reads like an old man that's mad at kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It is described as a baby pink and bisexual blue tinted tiny sunglasses wearing oat milk latte and Adderall feud look at what happens when the high school queen bee Cher disappears and her lifelong number two, Dion, steps into Cher's vacant Air Jordans. How does Dion deal with the pressure of being the new most popular girl in school while also unraveling the mystery of what happened to her best friend, all in a setting that's uniquely 2020 LA?
Those were some words.
Not sure what all of them necessarily meant.
They saw how popular Riverdale, and it's like, what can we do with Clueless to make it like that?
Yeah. Well, Riverdale is already fucking stupid, so...
Yeah. Let's see, they got executive producing our American Gothic and No Tomorrow creator, Corinne Brinkerhoff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're working on this. Let's see. As well as Robert Lawrence, who's a producer on the Clueless movie. And yeah, that's... kind of a weird place to be in for this whole thing.
Let's put it this
way. No.
No. Mm. Though, this might also be like a CW property. Mm. I don't think they've determined just yet, but CBS TV Studios makes a lot of stuff for CW.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, next up. There's some big... changes that are happening over at Marvel right now. So basically the whole structure over at Marvel is kind of shifting because they're now trying to sort of take a more active role in their current, working under Disney. So they've basically named a new chief creative officer for all Marvel content. It's going to be, Kevin Feige.
He has had a lot of input into the MCU already.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing it's, maybe just one of those things, just make it official. He's probably doing the job already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because his oversight extends to the overall creative direction, Marvel's storytelling and content creation platforms. As part of this Marvel TV animation generator, Marvel Family Entertainment will be under the Marvel Studios banner.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe also the print stuff will be also going under there.
Unified creative direction.
No.
Yeah.
But that then, like, are they going to try and unify all of the continuity into one direction? Because that would be a very bad idea. Yeah.
I don't know if they're making any decisions on that just yet.
Yeah. Because to do that, you'd basically need something on par with Crisis of Infinite Earths. To make that work. Mm. And Marvel usually doesn't do that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DC, they'll fucking reboot the whole goddamn universe on a coin flip, but...
Every Tuesday.
Yeah. Marvel is a bit more strict about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see where this goes. Speaking of Disney, Disney just revealed what the launch lineup for Disney Plus is going to be. And, well, let's see what we got on here.
They originally published this as a Twitter thread
mm-hmm.
with one tweet for each item, which is like 400-some long.
Don't do that. That's dumb.
Starts all the way back in like the 40s with Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah.
Miracle on 34th Street. Goes into the 50s with basically a bunch of stuff I have no interest in.
Yeah.
I'm not old enough to know any of this stuff other than I've heard people talk about it and they've remade some of this stuff over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 60s. Not really a ton there. It was Mary Poppins.
Yeah, it's basically all of their live-action stuff up to 2019.
Which,
going minus, that, you know, one very
going
obvious.
Through that Twitter thread, yeah. It was amazing because you can see, like, how bad all of the, like, logos for all this stuff is.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can see, like, very clear Photoshop, crude Photoshop, where you just see, like, the very soft edges around the people mm-hmm. that were not actually photographed next to each other and just spliced into the other pictures by shitty people.
Yeah.
Yeah, like The Love Bug. Isn't it more Herbie movies? Like, yeah, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Mm-hmm. Escape to Witch Mountain. Gus, which is a dumb movie about a football team that signs a mule to kick field goals.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow that works out.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have both Freaky Fridays, 77 and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the one in the mid-2000s as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like, going through this, you can see like how often they remake stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a good period in like the mid-2000s where they're like, fuck it, we're just putting sequels to all of our classic animated movies.
That didn't work out so well for some
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it's pretty much it's the entirety of their live-action filmmaking from all the way to the 1940s, with one, of course, very famous exception.
Yeah, which they're not going to have the balls to put up, trust me.
Yeah. But other than that, we've also got the, surprisingly, the actual entirety of their animated film, including the magic the Black Cauldron, which I'm surprised they're even willing to admit that movie exists.
Yeah.
Because that movie was famously a bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they got Return to Oz on here, which is a crazy sequel to The Wizard of Oz.
It's kind of that and also ties into the original book series.
Yeah, but as a kid who did not know that, it's like,
no!
Why is she in a mental facility? And what's this headless woman? Oh, God, I can't forget any of these images.
And then there's the Troll King, and why is he made out of rock? And, yeah. You know, the Wheelers, dear God, the Wheelers.
Yeah, it's a nightmare movie.
Oh, yeah, that is.
But, yeah, they got some good stuff here, like the Muppet movie, the Great Muppet Caper.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got the Christmas Carol. Treasure Island and a few others. There's some weird holes. I think they got a lot of the Marvel movies, but they have like the Avengers Age of Ultron, but not the mm-hmm. first Avengers. Yeah, stuff like one. That. It's like you need a bit more complete on that. It's like it's fine if you don't have the all of them, but like the Avengers movies are like the highlights.
Yeah.
And in case you just couldn't get enough Disney movie goodness, they've got all of the straight-to-video sequels as well.
Yeah, let's see. Let's go to the 2000s here where they went to shit.
Yeah,
there is, let's see. Where is it at here? I think I'm in the little too late. Okay, here we go.
Let's see. The Return of Jafar. That's the one. See.
Where the hell did I get lost at on this? Okay, there we go.
There's also Aladdin and the King of Thieves.
102 Dalmatians.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm towards the end of this tunnel.
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's a long list. It's easy to get lost.
This one might be split up somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I think it is.
Yeah,
because there's like Fantasia 2000,
mm-hmm.
Little Mermaid 2, Emperor's New Groove. That was actually good. Lady and the Tramp 2. Let's see. Return to Neverland. Cinderella 2. Dreams Come True. The Hunchback of Notre Dame 2. Why do we need that?
Yeah.
There
is no way that sequel had any chance of measuring up to the original.
Yeah, 101 Dalmatians 2, The Jungle Book 2, Atlantis Milo's Return, Stitch the movie, The Lion King 1.5, which I looked that up, see what the hell that is. That is Timon and Pumbaa watching the original movie, and then talking up over it and then talking about their origins.
Yep.
It's like, what the fuck is that? How did anybody come up with that? There's Mulan too, because sure.
That is a fucking shit show.
Oh, and
I've Lilo seen and that movie. It is god awful.
Lilo and Stitch 2, Bambi 2.
That one actually isn't bad.
Yeah, there's Kronk's New Groove, which I actually liked. Because it's kind of just more of the same kind of humor. Let's see, Brother Bear 2, The Fox and the Hound 2. That had to exist for some reason.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, that movie ends in a way that doesn't really provide for a sequel.
Yeah. Let's see, there's Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time. Mm. Little Mermaid, Ariel's Beginnings.
We already got Ariel's Beginnings. It was the fucking Little Mermaid.
Yeah, the first looking movie.
Yeah, they got, let's see, Pocahontas 2, The Lion King.
Oh, God! Fucking hell. If you thought the first Pocahontas movie was insulting, oh, fuck me.
Yeah. Also, they have Doug's first movie. So there's a point where ABC acquired Doug.
Yeah.
But they only made new stuff, and I don't think the new show is on here. Just the movie. That's real weird. For things they would not have on here. But yeah, there's also, let's see, they got like Tron Legacy was in here. The new Muppets, the movie that they put out 8 years ago. As well as the second one. Yeah.
You work it here, you realize Disney didn't really get its shit together until 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. About the time they got a lot of the recent stuff in here. But yeah, they got a lot of animated shows. For some reason, this one splits it up into a bunch of that weird stuff. But yeah, Adventures of Gummy Bears, DuckTales, The New Adventures of Winnie Pooh.
So basically, you know, the Disney afternoon lineup.
Yeah, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Goof Troop. A lot of stuff I did not know made series, like The Little Mermaid.
Oh, I remember that one.
Timon and Pumbaa. They made
remember
a
that one too.
Animated show.
Yep, I remember that one.
Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
As well as a bunch of other stuff like Boy Meets World, as well as Girl Meets World, the sequel series. Let's see. They got Even Stevens, Lizzie McGuire, Kim Possible, That's So Raven. Lilo and Stitch series, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. There's the Emperor's New School series. Let's see, Phineas and Ferb, which is great. People should check that out if they have not. Let's see, the more recent stuff they have here, Tron Uprising, Gravity Falls. Let's see, the Muppets series, that weird attempt to make The Office, but the Muppets.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, Muppet Babies, that weird new CG Muppet Babies.
Oh.
Not the old Muppet Babies that a lot of people like to see.
The old one was good. But...
I wonder if, well, I was saying licensing, but they own Star Wars now.
Yeah.
They reference that a lot, so they might have incidentally brought a lot of stuff in, but they might be, for whatever reason, like holding stuff back to add in later, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's also The World According to Jeff Goldblum, is one of their new series they're doing. It's kind of a lot of the Pixar stuff. Let's see, Toy Story 1, 2, 3.
All the way up to 2017.
Yeah,
No 4. Let's see, Bugs Life, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Cars, Ratatouille, WALL-E, Toy Story 3, Cars 2, Brave, Monsters University, Inside Out, The Good Dinosaur, Finding Dory, and Cars 3.
Yep.
Star Wars, they got 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. They also got Empire of Dreams, the story of the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
They had the Clone Wars,
2008,
which I don't think is the, I guess the CG one, isn't it?
It's the CG movie.
I really wish they could get the Genndy Tartakovsky series.
Yeah.
That is really good. See, they also got Star Wars Rebels and all the Lego Star Wars you want. The New Yellow Chronicles, Droid Tales, the Freemaker Adventures, All-Stars. They also got The Force Awakens, Rogue One, Star Wars Resistance. Oh, they don't have The Last Jedi or Solo.
Not yet, anyway.
It's weird. Yeah. So, like, yeah, Marvel. Oh, God. A lot of these old shows. Spider-Woman, X-Men series, 92. Fantastic Four, 94. Incredible Hulk, Silver Surfer, X-Men Evolution.
Yep.
Fantastic.
All the old Marvel cartoons. Yep.
Iron Man, Wolverine, the X-Men, Iron Man 3. Wait, they got movies. Okay. Wait, what? Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah, the movie, the...
They got
the
Iron Man and Iron Man 3, but not Iron Man 2.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, Avengers Age of Ultron's the first Avengers movie. They got Thor Dark World, not the first Thor.
Yeah.
They got Ant-Man, Captain Marvel, and that's it. That's all the Marvel.
Yeah.
That's
and then they got a bunch of National Geographic stuff, and they've also got all 30 seasons of The Simpsons.
Yeah, the Ice Age, one of the Ice Age short films.
And Little Einsteins.
Yeah.
And that's it.
What they're starting with, that's not bad.
No, it ain't.
No, but it's just like weird holes. Like, you've got the new Star Wars movie coming out in 2 months. You should have the most recent Star Wars movies on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People to catch up. But, Disney's one of those companies that actually...
Yeah. Anyway. But so,
selling those for a long time now.
Yeah. All right. So, moving on from there, we got some Netflix news. Their upcoming Christmas rom-com going to be... It's called A Night Before Christmas. And it does, in fact, include a cursed medieval night.
Yeah, the description is... See, it stars Vanessa Hudgens and Josh Whitehouse. She plays a kind science teacher who has been disillusioned by love, and he's the cursed medieval knight she must help return to his time.
I've heard worse pitches.
Which not
very many, but we have.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah there's they include a nice tweet here of somebody posting a Bob's Burgers meme of the daughter saying, "I was born ready." I mean, not really. I was born a baby, and then over time it became already. That is like, all right, sure, this is stupid. But she was also in another really stupid Christmas movie on Netflix called The Princess Switch.
Yep.
Chicago native Stacy is pushed into competing in a royal baking competition by her hot best friend.
Mm-hmm.
While setting up for Master Chef Belgravia, Stacy runs into Margaret, the Duchess of Montenero, also Vanessa Hudgens, who is in town getting to know her fiancé, a hot prince. The Duchess wants to switch places for 2 days to see what it's like to be a real girl.
Mm-hmm.
Can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, the crappy saccharine low-budget garbage isn't exclusively to the Hallmark Channel or,
no,
you know, ABC Family.
If you want the Hallmark Channel money, you got to make that kind of bullshit.
Yep.
And guess what? There's plenty of actors and actresses to make that kind of bullshit.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And they'll get annoyed when Netflix keeps asking them, "Are you still watching this shit?"
Yeah. And finally, last story for the night, we got our first full-length trailer, not just a teaser, an actual trailer for Bombshell, which, of course, is the biopic about the Roger Ailes sexual harassment scandal.
Yeah.
Yep, with Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, and Margot Robbie playing like the main leads.
Yeah.
And the guy that got for Roger Ailes is actually pretty interesting with
John Lithgow. Yeah.
Yeah, in like a fat suit.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he looks almost like Roger Ailes. Like it's...
Yeah, other than sounding like John Lithgow.
Because it's still John Lithgow underneath all the makeup.
There's also Kate McKinnon in this, mm-hmm. Malcolm McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Janney, Rob Delaney, Mark Duplass, and Connie Britton. So, a lot of good people in this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the movie kind of gives you, like, you can tell this is still very much like a Hollywood movie about Fox News, because they don't really pull any punches here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they straight up begin, like, one of the lines that Kate McKinnon says. It says, think of what angers your grandpa or scares your grandmother. That's a Fox story. So, yeah. Yeah, so I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Indeed.
Yes. Yep. So, with that said, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. You can get it linked down there in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or really any kind of podcast aggregator you can possibly think of. There's a good 6-to-1 chance we're on there already. And if not, just wait a few minutes. We'll be there soon. So, with that said, I would like to wish everyone here, especially here in Georgia, who is going to be in path of that tropical storm that's coming, stay safe. Don't do anything stupid. Looking at you, Florida. Especially you people down in Tallahassee. What the fuck is wrong with you people? And with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Felipe Manalfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Lucci. Good night. Get ready for part 5.